We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
On the mountain, in the valley, in the crowded streets, or the empty desert, in our hope, and in our waiting, we are never alone. God is with us.
Welcome to Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. Hello, everybody. We are so glad to have you with us. Everybody listening, watching online, welcome. You like our new digs? I love them. God gave them to us. We are excited about the Christmas season. Are you excited about the Christmas season? I am. We're very excited. We're starting a brand new sermon series that's going to focus on the message of the Christmas season. We're calling it God With Us. The message of the season is that God is with us. Now, the world has tried to hijack Christmas. It's tried to hijack this important message and make it about buying a car for your loved one. And they wake up in the morning and they're like, oh my gosh, you really do love me. You got me a car. They are hijacking the true message. That's not the true message. A new iPhone X is not the true message. None of these things are the true message. Having just the perfectly decorated house, that is not the message. Yuletide logs and what chestnuts and all those other things people sing about. None of that stuff is the message. The message is this: God with us. That's what it is all about. God has come to be near us. You are not alone because God has come. I think it's really sad that the number of suicides and the number of depression rises in the month of December. It's all tied to this Christmas. They don't understand the true message that you are not alone. God is with us. Our scripture memory this verse, this month, is Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Would you read it one more time with me? The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This scripture is actually a quotation. If you look in your Bible, it's got little quotation marks. That means someone else said it previously, and they are quoting it. You following me so far? The person who quoted it was the prophet Isaiah, who lived 700 years before Jesus. Everyone say 700 years. He said it this way in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel. God sent, through the prophet Isaiah, a promise. He sent us a promise 700 years in the making. The child would be called Emmanuel, and that word means God with us. Jesus was God come to earth to be with us, to walk amongst us, to heal us, to speak to us, and to save us. God sent a promise that he is with us. But can we get real for a moment? Can we get really real? I mean, this is really good, Pastor, but let's get real. Let's get where our life really is. There are times when it is easy to believe that God's with us. Right? It's sometimes easier than others to believe that. Would you agree? Can we be real enough to, there are sometimes it's just easier. There are days when it seems like God wakes you up in the morning and you wake up and you're not even groggy. There is like none of that gross stuff in the corner of your eye. You know, some of y'all don't have that. None of y'all have that. And you wake up in the morning and there's like butterflies just in the room. And you hear this voice. It's like, hello, Chris. You look really good today. And I'm like, God, hey, how are you? And he's just like, oh, I am blessed and highly favored because you're my child, right? And you just wake up and you feel this closeness with God. There are days kind of like that, okay? There are days where you feel that. It's easy to believe that God is with you when you feel him with you. And there are times when you just receive wonderful blessings after another. Have you ever had that kind of season where it's like blessing after blessing after blessing? My goodness, we had like 1 week where God saved us from 3 different car problems. He saved us literally from like probably $2,000, $3,000 when you put it all together. And we're like, God, you're just so good. I wonder what he's going to do next. It's easy when that happens to believe that God is with you. You get a raise. And your wife's actually not mad at you. And your kids, actually, God sent a special sleep angel that caused your kids to sleep through the night. And if that's not amazing enough, the Dallas Cowboys actually won a game. And these things happen. When these things happen, I don't know about you, but it's just easier to believe in God. Just easier to believe in God. The Cowboys are on a 4-game win streak. I did not see that coming. But then there are times that it's more difficult. There are times where it is more difficult to believe in God. And I'm not here to bully you over that fact today. I'm here to kind of look into why that is. I'm here to kind of sort through what's going on inside of you during those times when it's harder to believe that God is with you. I want to tell you that problems often make us question, God, are you there? Instead of God with us, it's God with us? Is he? Because of problems. You see, there are days you wake up and you don't feel God. Instead, you feel tired and your back hurts. You wake up, those are kind of days. There are days when bad things happen. There are days when not only did you not get the raise, you got laid off and you're going to have to find a new job. There are days when you have an argument with your spouse and it just doesn't even make sense. And you spend the night worrying in an emergency room because there's something wrong with your kid and you don't know what it is. And there are these times where these bad things just like stack up with you and you don't even know what to do. And you end up asking, God, where are you? Why is this happening? There are days when you can't think about fun things that you like to. Like, you know, you can't think about sports, you can't think about movies, can't think about social media, can't think about video games because your life is literally falling apart. And all you can do is try to go on. And those days exist. We're not here to make you feel bad about those days. I have those days. Raise your hands if you have those days. Don't feel bad if you have those days. There are times when you feel alone, you're hurting, you're scared, and you wonder, God, are you there? It is difficult to remember the promise when you're surrounded by the problem. Difficult to remember the promise when all you see is problems. I get it. I want to tell you, it's real simple, but it absolutely takes faith to hold on to the promise. He gives you the promise. Boom. You didn't earn it. He gives it to you. But then it takes all your faith to hold on to that promise, especially in times of trouble. We concentrate on the big God-filled moments of the Christmas story. Somebody tell me, what are some of the God-filled moments of the Christmas story? Angels appearing to shepherds, and they're singing, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Somebody give me another one. The star, there's this star in the sky, comes out of nowhere. It makes no sense. Like scientifically, I can't understand why, but that star actually leads wise men from the east towards the very place where Jesus is. And they find him there. That's amazing. Any other God-filled moments? Come on, lift them up. What are they? Jesus being born of a virgin. The king tries to kill him, but God protects him. All these things, it's amazing. There's all these God-filled moments. We remember these moments where angels showed up and sang. We remember moments where shepherds worshiped and wise men followed a star. We celebrate those moments. And those moments are filled, they're often sung about. They're in all the songs we sing about. But here's a little fact that's not in any of the songs that I know of. Before the angels came to announce the births of two babies, John the Baptist and Jesus, before that happened, there was no sense with the people that God was with them. In fact, it's quite the reverse. It's absolutely the opposite, because there was a sense of the people that they had been abandoned by God. That's not anywhere in O Holy Night. That's not anywhere in Away in the Manger. That's nowhere in Children Go Where I, any of these little songs, Little Town of Bethlehem. But this is absolutely true. Before the angel spoke, there was 400 years of silence. Say that, 400 years of silence. Some of you, that's news to you. Let me tell you, silence is a part of this Christmas story. Not everything in this Christmas story is butterflies and roses and wise men and frankincense and myrrh and gold. It's some of this Christmas story is depression. Some of this Christmas story is shame. Some of this Christmas story is depression and fear and loneliness and questioning. That's a part of the story. If you have any of that going in your life, you are not alone. And the Christmas season is absolutely for you. So you listen up. I want to tell you about 400 years of silence. There were 400 years where God didn't say anything. There were 400 years where God did not show up and God did not send a prophet. For 400 years, there were no records of anybody being miraculously healed. For 400 years, the people of God were under the persecution of tyrannical governments, thinking, well, where's God? Well, where's the Messiah? Well, where's the promise? 400 years. Do you realize how long 400 years is? Right? Today's December 2nd. It's 23 days to Christmas. My kids cannot hardly last 23 days. Now try 400 years. Do you realize that that is generation after generation after generation after generation? Do you realize that somebody was standing here going, well, Grant, my dad never heard from God. My grandfather never heard from God. My great-grandfather never heard from God. My great-great-grandfather never. I just remember some old, dusty stories that are in written down somewhere about a guy named Abraham, some guy named Moses, some guy named David, some guy named Gideon, some guy. That's all I have to remember, because God is silent. Not only did they not hear him, no one they knew had heard him. What if, so raise your hand if you had somebody in your life, they knew God and it really impacted you. Anybody like that? Take that person out of your life and what do you have? Oh, my goodness. My grandmother lived for God. I had a great-grandfather who came for God and got radically saved. What if that was wiped off my slate? I would have lost quite a bunch. These people, all they had were old stories and a silent God. Have you ever experienced silence from God? Yeah. Mary and Joseph grew up having only heard the old stories. Only heard how he used to speak. Only heard about how he used to work miracles. Maybe you're here today and you wonder if the old stories are true. Maybe you had a grandmother who used to tell you great things that God had done in her life. And you heard those stories and you went, I wonder if that's true. I mean, no one discounts their grandmother's testimony, but you at the same time you go, I don't know, maybe it's true, maybe it's not. You don't really know until you have experienced yourself. At this moment, you may have never experienced those things that someone else in your life has experienced. And you're like, I just don't know. Maybe if God really is real, maybe he should talk to me. And why is he being silent? I want to tell you, silence is difficult. But if out of nowhere, unexpectedly, an angel shows up and spoke. And when that angel spoke, he spoke the words of God. And God's voice was heard on the earth for the first time in 400 years. I want to tell you, that is the message of Christmas. that even though the silence comes, God's voice will ring out of nowhere, and he will speak to you again. Some of you listen to me right now. God is not done speaking. He is going to speak to you. You are going to hear his voice again. You're going to feel the power of God again. You're going to see. You have not seen your last miracle. I am speaking by faith right now. You have not seen your last miracle. God is not done using you. He's not done. That's the story of Christmas. There's a prevalent belief system in our world. In fact, I'm afraid that a lot of Christians, people who claim to be Christians, have this belief system called agnosticism, where they believe that God created everything, maybe, who knows, but he probably created it. They call it like the watchmaker. He made the watch. That's the earth. He winds up the watch. He sets everything going. All the neutrons and the electrons are spinning and all the seasons are going and it's moving out in the world. He spun the whole thing and he just walked away from it and has never touched the watch again. A lot of people have this idea of the watchmaker syndrome, of this agnosticism that God is no longer active. But when that angel spoke to John the Baptist's dad, when that angel spoke to Joseph and Mary, it means that God is not done with the earth. He didn't create the earth and then walk away from the earth. He's not done with the earth. In fact, he came and abode within the earth. He came to earth. So you have the promise, right? We've talked about the promise. You got the problems. I really don't have to talk to you about the problems. You're well aware. Actually, problems, they have this little box outside your house. It's got a little flag you can put up. And there is a government employee that actually goes in there and puts problems in my mailbox. You really don't have to tell me about the problems. You got the promise. You got the problems. But what we're really looking for, what we really long to experience, is for the promise to be performed. You're looking for the promise to be performed. This is what the Christmas story is all about. The birth of Jesus is the promise performed. All the way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God spoke to Eve and gave her a promise that her seed would crush the head of the serpent, and the head of her seed would be bruised. That whole promise came, and she held that promise in her hand, and she grew old holding that promise in her hand until she breathed her last and she was put in a grave. Her body is no more all these years later. What she longed more than anything was to see the promise performed. She never got to see the promise performed, but it was performed. You don't always get to see the promise performed. Isaiah said the child would be God with us. Isaiah never got to see the promise performed. God is with us. His name is Jesus. That prophecy about Emmanuel is fulfilled in Jesus. And his very name means Jehovah save. That Jehovah saves. That Jehovah God has come to save. That God is with us and is saving us. Are you happy about it? This is what we celebrate, y'all. This is it. If you don't know, let me tell you, Jesus is God and Jesus is with us. Jesus is God with us. I said earlier that it's difficult to remember the promise when you're surrounded by problems. Now, hear this. It's easy to remember the promise when you're seeing it performed. It is so easy to see the promise, remember the promise, celebrate the promise when you're seeing it performed. Can you relate to that? Oh, absolutely. There are some promises. God has given us so many promises that we forget them sometimes, right? Your whole Bible's full of them. You've prayed before and God has spoken to you some things. And if you're not careful, you will forget those things. And then lo and behold, you see them performed and you're like, wait a second. This is exactly what God was talking about. Because there's something about when you see it performed, that helps you remember the promise. It's easy to remember the promise when you're seeing it performed. When you see the angel standing in front of you, it's hard not to remember the promise. When you get the job, when you should have been in that car wreck, but somehow you weren't. When your kid gets the scholarship, when those good things happen, when you should have been dead, but God healed you. But for the next few moments, I want to talk to you about the space between the promise and the performance. There is a space between. The space between the promise and the performance is something I have never really been a fan of. I really don't like to live in the space between those two locations. I am often guilty of wanting to fast forward past the problems. I want to fast forward past the waiting. I want to fast forward past the silence and go immediately to the promise performed. Can you relate to that? Has God ever given you a promise and you're like, all right, that's good, and you woke up tomorrow and went, where is it? Where is it? I want it now. I want it now. That's where we are. I want to fast forward past those things. The truth is God uses the space between to bless us. God uses the space between to bring out patience in us. God uses the space between to cultivate our faith. He does a lot in the space between. I want to tell you three things you need to learn about the space in between. The promise is still from God when you're in between. It's still from God. Stop second guessing the promise. Anybody guilty of that one? Yeah, you wake up in the morning and the promise isn't there. You're like, well, maybe that wasn't God. Oh my goodness. We say that all the time. Maybe it wasn't God. Stop second guessing the promise. You're just in the space between. Number two, no problem can stop his promise. No problem can stop his promise. The problem is just what the space in between is made of. You look at the promise made to Eve, and when it's finally fulfilled in Jesus on the cross, and what do you see? You see countless people stepping up out of nowhere trying to stop the promise. Pharaoh is killing baby after baby. Killing what kind of baby? Baby boys. Trying to kill the very seed of Eve. The devil is killing person after person. He's after Cain. He's after Abel. He's been after every one of them. Over and over again, we see people rising up. Even when Jesus is about to be born, we see King Herod show up trying to kill baby boy after baby boy. Did they, any of them, succeed? Because no problem can stop the promise. The bad news is you got problems. The good news is you have an unstoppable promise. That's the good news. The promise is still from God. No problem can stop his promise. Number three, the promise is performed in Jesus. The promise is not performed in you. The promise is not performed in your pastor. The promise is not performed in the church. The promise is only performed in Jesus Christ. Do you understand? The Bible is filled with person after person trying to fulfill the promise on their own. Moses is on the mountain, and Israel says, let's just settle this all ourselves. Let's make a god. And they made a gold calf right there. What were they trying to do? Trying to make their own god to serve and to worship so he would be happy with us because God's thundering on the mountain and we're scared. What are they trying to do? They're trying to fulfill the promise in their own actions, in their own deeds. Let me tell you, Christians, sometimes we try to fulfill the promise in our religious works. Well, I went to church. Now God's going to fulfill the promise. No, sweetheart. It's God's fulfilling of the promise has nothing to do with your works. It has everything to do with Jesus Christ. This promise is only fulfilled in Jesus. You look at the Old Testament, God says, here's some laws to worship me on. But those laws were never meant to fulfill the promise of Jesus. Actually, those laws showed us that we could not perform the promise. The promise was fulfilled, bought with a price by Jesus Christ. The ultimate fulfillment of God's promise is not winning the lottery. The ultimate fulfillment of God's promise is not buying a house. It's not anything that you open on December 25th. Jesus is the ultimate promise performed. Do you understand this? Now let me talk to you and to me. Because if that's true, I ought to be the happiest person on the face of the planet. Because I've already got the promise performed. I don't need one other thing to fulfill the promise. It was already performed. Jesus Christ walking to Calvary, carrying the cross, allowing his hands and his feet to be nailed to that cross, wearing that crown of thorns, being stabbed in the side, his blood flowing out, and he dies, and he's buried. And he raises again on the third day. That's the promise performed. And you know that story. You love that story. You sing about that story. But that story isn't enough for us. Because we need something else. Child, God is with you. God has been with you. God, you're so good to us. Three things you need to learn about the space between. The promise is still from God. No problem can stop his promise. And the promise is performed in Jesus Christ. You have that promise. You want to see it performed. You need to give it over to Jesus Christ tonight. I'm going to ask our musician to come. For 400 years, God was silent. But the birth of Jesus is proof that God was still with us. I want to tell you, God is with us in the silence. God is with us even when you can't hear him. God is with us even when you pray and you don't see the results. God's still with us. Are you in the space between today? Are you experiencing silence in your life? I want you to know that God is still with you. I want you to know God is still with you. Even in the silence, God is present. 700 years before Jesus was born, a promise was given. 400 years before Jesus came, God was silent. But on the day Jesus was born, it became clear to everyone that God was with us. God was always present. He was always with us. We've talked about promise. We've talked about problem. We've talked about performance. Now we need to talk about presence, that God is present. See, I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know where you are. Maybe you're in the area where God's giving your promise. Maybe you're just finding Jesus and he says, I love you. And you take that and that's the promise. Maybe that's where you are. I want you to know God's present in that moment. And maybe you're in the problem stage. Maybe that's exactly where you are. You're worried to death about stuff. You are really bothered about things. You're depressed. You don't know what to do. I want to tell you, God's still present in that moment. And maybe you're in the very exciting place where you're seeing the promise performed. You're actually seeing those prayers being answered. Even in that moment, God is present. The key is that he's present through it all. Can you say that? God, you're present through it all. If we truly believe God is present, then we should take some time to talk to Him. If you really believe God is with you today, shouldn't we take some time to talk to Him? We do three things every time we gather at Redemption Church. We worship God. We've done that. We've received the Word of God. We've done that just now. Now it's time to do the third thing. We are going to talk to God. Over the next few moments, we're going to be singing a song of worship. And I challenge you to spend some time talking to God. I want to invite you, I challenge you to actually take a step from your chair and spend some time talking to the God who is with you. If you would like someone to pray with you, you just come in the first 2 feet of this stage and somebody is going to come pray with you. Come on, Redemption Church, let's do it. As they sing, I'm going to pray over every person in this house. Father, I thank you for your goodness. Lord, I thank you that you're with us, even in the silence, God, even in the middle of problems. Lord, even when the enemy seems to be after us, even when we are failing, God, Lord, you are there. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. Lord, I want you to touch every person in this house, everybody listening, watching online, God. Lord, get a hold of their heart. Let them realize that Jesus Christ has come, that God has not turned his back on them, that he is present with them. He is stepping out of the darkness and they will hear his voice again, Father. Lord, I pray, Lord, that faith would rise in their hearts. Lord, I pray that powerful things would take place in their life right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, church, let's talk to God in this place. Let's reach out to him.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.